Good morning. It's good to be here, isn't it? All right, good. Because if it wasn't, why are you here, right? Oh, all right. The Pope arrived in New York. Long plane journey. And as he got to the baggage claim and got his stuff and went outside, he seen a nice long stretched limo. Beautiful, shiny. The limo driver welcomes him and says, "Welcome, Pope, come, go ahead." And Pope says, "Would you mind? It's been an extremely long time since I got to drive." And the driver's like, "I don't know if that's good, if that's protocol. I don't know if we should do that." The Pope's like, "Please, please let me drive. It's such a beautiful car. I'd love to drive." And of course, the limo driver's like, "Well, who am I to say no to the Pope?" And so he says, "Sure, go ahead." And so they get in the limo, and the Pope's driving, and he's just having a great time. Probably too much of a good time, as he doesn't find himself attentive to his speed, but a trooper did. A police officer sees him speeding, pulls him over. The Pope pulls over, the cop's behind him. Cop gets out of his patrol car, goes up to the window, knocks on it, and kind of to his astonishment, sees someone that he would not have expected to be seen driving. And he's like, "Hello, sir, do you know why I pulled you over?" And the Pope's, "No." He goes, "Well, sir, you were speeding. If you could, would you remain here just for a moment?" So the officer went back to the patrol car, gets in, radios the chief. He says, "Chief, I've got a problem." "What's your problem?" "Well, I pulled someone over for speeding." "Okay, but they're really important." "How so? Is it the mayor?" No, it's not the mayor." "Is it the governor?" "No, it's way more important than the governor." "The president?" "More." "Who's more important than the president?" he says. "I don't know, it must be God because he's got the Pope driving for him." Come on, that was funny. I don't know, I heard it this past week and I thought, you might enjoy that. So, must be important, must be God because he's got the Pope driving for him. This morning, it's going to be quite a time. I just hope that you're strapped in and you're ready. I've had a message for quite a few weeks, and I've never been one just to kind of redo a sermon. I've always asked God, "I need a fresh twist, turn, way to present what you've been putting on my heart." Testimony. To testify or to give testimony is to let known something that was in secret, let known something that you know that others might not know. So whenever we hear testimony, and truly we've seen this thing of testimony come and go. If you're over the age of 25, 30, maybe 35, you probably grew up, if you grew up in church, in an era of testimony. There was times where that's what they did. They started off service. Anybody have a testimony that they'd love to share? And they'd go for it, and you would see folks giving testimony of the faithfulness of God in their life. Testify, to the word testimony means that it's the ability to do over again. It means that just as Sister Mary shared something that God had done, I felt this overwhelming sense of grace in that matter. And weren't we encouraged by that? That God can heal a broken relationship. I was encouraged and I felt my spirit say, that's for us right here, right now, today. And so when we hear things like that, what does it do? When we hear the testimony of what God has been doing in others' lives, it quickens, it builds, it encourages our faith. Amen. As it should. And we can jump on that healing train, right? If God did it for our sister over here, is he too weak to do it for you? Absolutely not. So if you've seen these things, there's been testimonies of healings and of broken relationships and of emotional issues that have been restored. God heals. God is the same yesterday as he is today, as he will be tomorrow and forever. Amen? So I started this whole thing off with the month of May for the Lackey family has been such a crazy month. And so I'll give you a little bit of our month of May testimony. I started off the 4th of May. I was down at a district council with much of the staff and lay pastors of here of Lapeer Assembly of God. We were at a district council meeting. I got a phone call that the job that I had, I was a crew leader in a company that worked with the water. I had been removed from that position, that program of privilege, so they called it, moved out of that for some different things that had happened. Really, really, really long story short, there was three guys that went into a house. There was two guys that went into a house, three guys that were at a house. And this huge political, I say spiritual event happened. Someone called, complained, that I and another guy, we went in, said that we took off stuff off a door, you know, got in illegally, whatever it might have been, which was not the case. We went back, we fixed the door. Well, it got to the mayor, this whole nine. Whole big, huge story. And they asked my two bosses to remove me from the program. I was, of course, immediately distraught. And I'm like, God, we did nothing wrong. The two bosses that we had said, this is bogus. This is not right. You legally have the right to be in there. You can do all that stuff. There was no big deal. My two bosses, well, one boss and then a dispatcher said, well, Donnie, you know why this has happened? And I really, in my heart of hearts, I knew why this happened. But it was really cool to see that they knew why it happened. It was a spiritual thing, they said. He goes, nobody else down here prays for people like you do. Nobody else down here feeds people like you do. I knew it was a spiritual attack. I knew that it was an issue for me to have to deal with. Now, I'd like to tell you that I just passed that test with flying colors. I'd kind of be lying. Well, I would really be lying, because the first 24 hours, I was just absolutely distraught, upset, beyond compare. Because I thought many things. My integrity, God. Why would my good be spoken evil of? My integrity called into question. We did nothing wrong but to be removed. God, how am I going to provide for my family? I just bought a brand new house. How am I going to do? What am I going to do? My wife was out shopping. That was the end of the shopping. I called her and I told her, she's like, we can't buy anything. Okay, guys, if you want your women to stop buying stuff, call them and say, guess what? I don't have a job no more. That'll stop them from buying stuff, maybe. Oh, so it was a tremendously crazy 24 hours. I was rooming with Brandon at district council, and I know he was like, oh, sweet Jesus, what do I do with this guy? What do I say? What do I do? Ah, you know, what can you really give to anybody at that moment? And so I know his heart was for me, and he expressed his concern, and it was just good to have that friend. It was good to have you, buddy. So 24 hours goes by. The next morning, I get a phone call, and the boss over everything calls me up and says, well, look, I know what happened yesterday was bad, but I'd like to hire you on to my crew. And so I'm like, okay, great, praise God. So immediately it was wonderful. It transitioned from not knowing what was happening to at least having something. I wasn't fired from my other company. I was still able to work. It was just going to be quite a downgrade in pay. And so it wasn't like I didn't have a job, but I didn't have the good paying job that I once had. I'm like, and of course, anymore, all my mind, my thoughts were, okay, how many hours do I need to work to pay for that? You know? It's like, okay, my child had to go to the dentist, the endodontist. How many hours do I have to work to fit that bill? You know? And so everything is quantified in hours. But praise God, everything worked out. I got victory. I was filled with faith. All those things. It took a little while. I wish that it would have been a little quicker. But God allows things so our faith is built and we respond quicker. How many of you know if you have the same response time, it's not a good thing. If it takes longer of a proper response, it's not a good thing. When we have things happen, it should go quicker, right? Our response should be quicker. We should learn and we should grow and we should immediately default to saying, thank you, Jesus, praise God, you're so good. Amen? All right, so in that process, that's exactly what we're doing. Well, I don't know if it was a week or so later, my wife calls me up, texts me a picture. My daughter had got sideswiped, changing lanes. The whole front of her car is messed up. And I'm like, okay, is she okay? Everything's good. Yep. It's just a car. It's just a thing. Okay, good. I find myself being able to rejoice. It's not my car. I still will have to probably help pay for it, but it's not my car. Another week goes by, and if you know me at all, I'm a miser. I'm a penny pincher. I like to save things. As far as financially, I'm very good with money. God has blessed us. Apart from our house, our whole married life, we've never been in debt. We went into it without debt, and praise God, we're going to hopefully go out without debt. And so I was doing a home project, and I had found the means to do it, and way cheaper, a third of what it was going to cost me to do it. And I'm downstairs, and my dad's with me, and we're working, and I'm using a hand grinder, and I'm cutting a pipe. And the pipe binds. The blade on the pipe, on the grinder binds, it throws it out of my hand, hits a ladder, which then shatters this composite blade, which then sends it back into my leg, and I get a big gash, a big chunk, not to get too graphic. I felt something hit me, but I'm like, oh, I just kind of moved out of the way, until I bent down to turn off the grinder and looked, and I had blood sprayed all over the place. I'm like, oh, this might be an issue. And so I go and I grab a towel and I wrap it up and I try and do all that stuff. And I'm like, well, how am I going to get from here to where I need? So I grab packing tape and I packing tape my whole bandaged up leg. And my first thought is I'm coming out of my basement and there's a transition of brand new carpet and brand new wood floor. And I'm like, oh God, I don't want to drip on my new carpet. I have a huge gushing blood hole in my leg, but I don't want to ruin my carpet or my wood floor. And so my wife was extremely happy that I had that conscious thought. I go up the stairs. I'm like, babe, I'm going to go to the doctor. And she's like, what? What are you going to do? What do you do? What you do? What you do? And I'm like, oh, I cut my leg. And I don't ever go to the doctor for anything. You know, you spray Windex on it and it'll grow back, whatever. And so she's like, all right, well, I'll take you. And so we go. And of course, now remember, I just told you, I am fiscally, I like to. Not to have to pay for what I don't have to pay for. We don't have insurance, so guess what? ER bill. The money that I thought I saved on my major project just got sucked right out of my hands, and I gave it to the Lapeer County Medical Building or where the hospital or whatever. I'm like, and so for me, that would have probably, it would have been an issue if I hadn't been learning. We went to it, and I said, ah, you know what? They must need the money. Praise God. I have two legs to stand on. We're good. Let's go in there. We'll have a great attitude. We're joking with everybody. We're talking with everybody. We're, you know, all those different things. We just had a great time with the doctor, the nurses, the, you know, they wanted to take picture, and all I heard was cha-ching. And so I said, you can get this in one, can't you? And she's like, no, honey, I need three. And I'm like, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Okay, well, better get it cleaned out. And that way it's free of any infection and I won't have to come back for more cha-ching. And so, but it was just, again, just absolutely miraculous. We were in there. She's like, well, you know, this is going to be a really ugly scar. And I'm like, well, you know, usually they are. Actually, the first thing I said out of my mouth was, well, I heard someone say that chicks dig scar. My wife was right there, and she goes, well, at least I can identify his body. So I'll know how to identify him. I didn't mean chicks dig scars in a bad way, babe. But so it was funny. The doctor was comical. We just had a great time. And we could talk about God. We talked about church. Talked about James Bullinger. All of those different things. And so we go. But immediately, my mind and my heart was, well, thank you, Jesus. I praise you. I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to be filled with joy no matter what my circumstance was. And so we continue on. And this past week, I think it was Thursday, I'm at work. I'm doing what I'm doing. And my wife calls me. And you ever get that phone call where your wife's voice is trembling? I'm like, uh-oh. She's like, well, someone hit me while we were in Meyer's parking lot. So my wife gets T-boned. All of the airbags explode. She's got all of our kids and her mother in the car. All chaos. Well, guess what? The car's totaled. I immediately, as soon as I hung up the phone, I just started laughing. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. This is great. This is great. Yet again, have you given me another opportunity just to praise you? My family is okay. Now, my wife, if you think I'm bad financially, I think I learned most of it from her. She's worried about, I'm sorry I did this to the car. We don't have this, that, the other. I said, babe, it's a thing. It's just material. I said, as long as you're good, as long as you're safe, as long as you're not hurt, we're good. God will supply. He's going to bring everything that we need. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. I don't have any worry about that. None whatsoever. And so immediately I just began to say, thank you, Jesus. I'm here to tell you that one of the best things that you and I can do when we experience hardship, trial, adversity, suffering, is to depress the devil by having joy in Jesus Christ. I am all about depressing the devil. I am not going to give him any satisfaction to say, oh no, what am I going to do? I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to praise him and I'm going to exalt him. And you might say, well, that kind of sounds fake. It's not. It's not. I can honestly say, thank you, Jesus. And so this testimony, these testimonies that we heard in Revelation, it talks about by the blood of the Lamb and the word of they have overcome. And what? They do not love their life until death. We always leave that part out. We always leave that not loving our life until death. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Let's just read it real quick. And it says, and they have conquered him. Who's him? The enemy, Satan, El Diablo, whatever. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. The precious shed blood of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I will testify to his goodness no matter what. I will testify and give him praise no matter what I go through. God is faithful. Can you say amen? God is faithful. He's loving. He is not far from us at any moment or any given time of day. The Bible tells us that he's even closer than the air that you and I consume. He's here. He showed up here before you showed up. He thought of you before you thought of him. He loved you and gave himself for you before you ever put on that garment of praise. Ever today to know that he loves you. I shared a couple weeks ago the story in Ezekiel of dry bones. And we all know that story. There's pretty much no one here that doesn't know that story. Ezekiel's led out in a dream into this valley, and the bones are dry. The Bible says they were very dry. There was no life in them. Bleached by the sun, piled on each other, scattered, some here, some there, everywhere. And God poses a question to Ezekiel, and he says, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel's like, Surely, God, only you know. And then what God begins to do is he begins to tell Ezekiel that he's to prophesy over these bones. And he is supposed to speak life over these bones. Does it compute with your mind, if you could visually go there, to see all of these bleached, sun-dried bones? Does it compute to actually say that you could speak life over them and that they would come back to life? That sinew and muscle and tendons, flesh and skin, all these things would just return to the skeletal systems that are fragmented and all over the place? It doesn't compute, does it? The word prophesy, the understanding of the word prophesy is to speak the encouragement of God. So when we call out, when we prophesy, we're to speak of the Lord, that which he has given us, and it is meant to encourage and it is meant to give direction to those that are around us. Now, we in the church today think prophecy is just left to certain individuals. Only certain people can prophesy. Is that true? I know it's a trick question, right? Is that true? I'm here to tell you the answer is false. Can you speak for God? Every single one of you can speak for God. Can you speak from God to someone else to bring encouragement to their life? Absolutely. Now, one of the things that we have to understand is that even if it makes us uncomfortable, or maybe speaking or talking to people is really not our forte, we understand that in our weaknesses, God is made strong. In our weaknesses, he is made more visible. We are made less visible, right? So if God has called you, and I believe today that God is calling you to prophesy over your situation. And again, I don't know if your situation is bleak. I don't know if you find yourself in a place where your finances, you're in trouble. You don't know where or how you're going to make ends meet. I'm here to tell you that you can prophesy. You can speak the affirming, life-giving words of God over your situation. How about your marriages? Maybe your marriages aren't as strong as they should be. Maybe they're really bad. Guess what? Husband, you can speak life into that situation. Wife, you can speak life into that situation. Guess what? Kids, you got a mainline to God. You believe that anything can be done. You have a right to speak life over that situation. God, I pray for my mom and dad. I speak life into that marriage. I say, God, help mom and dad not fight so much. Help mom and dad not worry about money so much and let them focus on you. We can speak life over situations, over dreams. How many of you have had dreams that you felt the Lord give you that you haven't seen come to fruition yet? It's time to speak life into those dreams. God, you gave me this dream. You put this burning desire in my heart, and I just speak life to it. God, I ask that you would release me into the dream that you've called me into. Again, this has been a couple of years. If you know our story, the Lackey family, we were here for a little over 11 years as senior associate pastors, then relocated down to Bruce Township, Romeo, where we were the lead pastors for 7 years. And then God called us into this season that was quite different than I have ever known. And it's been about a 2 year and some change process. God called us back to Lapeer, which I never thought was ever going to happen. But out of obedience, we've come and we've been growing. And God spoke to me as we left that he was going to give me a new armor that was made tailor fit for me. And so this whole couple year process has been, you know how they forge armor, right? Or forge swords or steel or anything. What do? They stick it in the metal, or the metal into the heat, into the fire. It gets blazing hot. They pull it out and they do what to it? They beat the schnozola out of it. They stick it back in the fire. And I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus, is this what you've called us to? Sure enough. But God has been forming. God has been formulating the bend of my heart in such a way that no matter what we come up against, God is awesome. God is faithful. God is healer. God is provider. He is the beginning. He is the end. I will not falter in my faith. I prayed a prayer once, and if you're as foolish as I, you'll pray the same prayer. God, no matter what the cost, I will serve you. You better mean it, because he's going to bring you through the fire. No matter what the cost is, God. No matter what the cost is, I want to follow you. And if that's the true dream of your heart, if that's the true call that you say, God, I want, you better strap in. You better hold on. Because God will bring his glory through you. Don't ever put on the brakes, though. Have I been tempted? Absolutely. You ever seen Fiddler on the Roof? Where, you know, of course, they're in meager situation. They don't have a whole lot of money. And he sees a lot of other rich people around him. And he's like, okay, God, smite me with riches. You know, I'm sorry, yeah, they say it's a horrible thing to be rich, but go ahead and smite me. I'll give it a try for a while. You know, how many times do we want to say, okay, I appreciate that you love me, but don't love me so much, God. I appreciate that you want me to be made more and more in your image, but I kind of like my little imperfection. Stop chiseling away. It kind of hurts. Have you ever been there? We've all been there, and I've been there, and I'm like, okay, God, you said, how many times have you prayed this? God, you said you'd never give me more than I can bear, and I'm right there. I am right there. I can bear no more. And he's just like, no, you're not. We are such a resilient people. Those that are in Christ are such a resilient people. He takes us to places that we never thought that we could go, through issues that we never thought we could handle, places that we thought were going to kill us. Or are we going to kill somebody else because of those situations? And God miraculously brings us through. He shows us his love. He shows us that we can grow at an exponential rate if we're given over to him. There might be some areas in your health where you've battled health issues, sickness issues. It's time to speak over those. You do realize, you do understand, and you do know that Jesus Christ's death on the cross not only paid and bought your salvation, but it also paid and bought your healing. Should you have to battle with the issue of sickness? No. Why would you have to contend and try and beat a sickness that Jesus Christ already did? You don't have to do anything or contend for your salvation, do you? What do you have to do to be saved? Believe. What do you need to be healed? Believe. No, 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 no. God gave me this sickness to teach me something. That's hogwash. That's wrong. God does not give you sickness to teach you something. Because if that's the case, then when Jesus lay on that cross, God was teaching him something. No, Jesus said, I willingly, right? Did he willingly get on that cross? Absolutely. And so those areas where you're sick, it's time that the body of Christ stand up and proclaim God's word over the situation. Now again, please hear me. I'm not preaching a name it, blame it, name it, grab it, blab it kind of message. I'm just saying, you know what? You are a child of the Most High God. You are one that has been given power and authority. Why? Because you're good enough. Absolutely not. Because he's good enough. Because his spirit dwells in us. And if it's the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead and it dwells in us, he dwells in us, what's he supposed to do to our mortal bodies? He's supposed to quicken them, right? You need to begin to speak the word of God over your life. Do you know that you can speak the word of God and prophesy over those that are in your family, those that are in your sphere of influence? You can speak life over them. And brothers and sisters, that's what we're called to do. Just like Josh said, hey, come, let's go shoot some guns. Given any opportunity, step through the door. Given any opportunity, profess Christ. I heard this phrase, and I think if we could grab a hold of it, it would truly change the way that we look at things. The phrase is this. It says, rule with the heart of a servant. Serve with the heart of a king. Rule with the heart of a servant. Serve with the heart of a king. Let me break that down for you. Think about servant and king. Think about the roles that they have. If you and I are called to rule and to reign, we should do it through the heart of a servant. How did Jesus Christ come? But as a servant, amen? He ruled with the heart of a servant. You see people going through a hard time, rule over them with the heart of a servant. Now, I'm not talking about the oppressive rule, but you know what? In Joshua, it talks about that any place that our feet go, we can claim the authority of Christ. We can say, wherever my foot steps, God, you've given me power, authority, and dominion. And so I walk in that authority. I walk in that power. I walk in that dominion. Rule over them, not in an oppressive way, but in the authoritative way, because of who you are in Christ. Rule over them with the heart of a servant. Serve them with the heart of a king. Why would you serve them with the heart of a king? Does the king lack for anything? Is there any lack? When you go to the king, is there any lack? Everything that he wants, needs, or doesn't need, he has, right? You need to go and understand that we're called to go with a reservoir, with the utilities behind us of a king. Jesus said that God gave him everything, and he does what to us? And in turn, he gives everything to us, right? All authority has been given. Has he held back on the authority that he's given you? You guys might screw it up, so I'm only going to give you half as much. Is that true? No, doesn't that sound ridiculous? He gave us the Spirit. And it's time for you and I, who are the body of Christ, to walk in absolute authority and in power. And it's time for you to speak life over the situations that God brings into your path. So we know the story. Ezekiel begins to prophesy. He begins to speak the words of God over these dry bones, and you got wind that starts rushing. You got bones from all corners of this valley that start whipping around and being flung into place. You got tendons and sinew and muscles and flesh. All this stuff is forming on these skeletal systems. Bodies upon bodies. Can you imagine the sight? You just got a bunch of cold, dead people laying on the ground where there once used to be just dead man's bones. And God says, you know what, now I want you to prophesy breath. And up from this ground, this valley of death, comes a living, breathing army of God. I'm here to tell you, those dead areas in your life, God wants you to speak over them. God can only do what God can do, but do you know that you and I have a responsibility in this as well? We can't just go blindly and say, well, whatever God's will is. Let me ask you, what is God's will for your life? In the broadest terms. Okay, I'm not talking about nitty-gritty details right now. I'm just talking about the broadest terms. What is God's will for your life? Think about that. Because we have a whole bunch of things that we think that it is God's will for. Now, Jesus, we hear, came to testify to the truth. That's why he came. To demolish, to do away with, to put asunder the works of the enemy. Now let me ask you another question. What is the will of the devil? I heard it. What was it? Okay. The will of Satan is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. If you need to fill in the blank, if you need some help with God's will for your life, I can sum it up in that verse. You, like Christ, are called to do away, to put asunder the works of the devil. Where he has come to kill, you have come to bring life. Where he has come to steal, you have been given the authority to replenish, to restore, to give back. Where he has come to destroy, you have been given the power to breathe life on a situation. So the will of God for each and every, and you might have struggled all your life. You might have said, I don't know what God's will for my life is. I just gave you your answer. God's word just gave you the answer. You are called to demolish, as Christ did, the works of the evil one. To rectify. You see someone sick? What's God's will? Okay, I'll say it again. If you see someone sick, what is God's will for your life? Come on, say it. Pray for them, right? Now, do you need to go and say, wait a minute, I might need to seek Jesus about this, right? Give me 3 days, I'll come back. Is that right? No. I'll get you all on the same page. If you see someone struggling, should you say, oh, I wonder what they did in their life to cause that? Oh, you know, Pastor Donnie must have done something wrong to have all this stuff going on in the month of May. He better get right. He better get right, or Jesus is gonna take control and really do something bad to him. Come on. I don't blame any of that stuff on Jesus. Some of it might be my dumb fault. You know, I cut my leg. Am I saying that God allowed that so I could suffer? No. Does it feel good? Absolutely not. It's actually hurting me right now. But guess what? I'm just not going to stop praising him. I did something dumb. I should have not done this, that, the other thing. Okay, I blew it. But my response is, yeah, well, I praise him. Okay, so let's say you've done something to cause your own world of hurt. Okay, ask for forgiveness, repent, and get on with it. Should it have to beat you up forever? Absolutely not. Own it, say, yep, I blew it, God, and let's get you back on the road to doing what he's called you to. I'm here to tell you, there are so many areas in our life that God is calling us to speak over. It's like blessings on a shelf in the storeroom of heaven. They're sitting up there, and they've been sitting up there since the beginning of time. And God's saying, all you got to do is call them. Call for them. Ask for them. Speak them out. Right? Again, ask and you seek and you will knock and you. It doesn't say ask and you might receive. Seek and if you're good at hide and seek, you might find me. It doesn't say knock on the door and just like, what's that, Bob Barker on The Price is Right, behind door number one, door number two, or door number three, you pick. Oh, sorry, you didn't get the best prize, you got the so prize. Does God do that? Oh, bummer, you missed my door. You get the consolation, the so well, good prize. Is that God? Absolutely not. Because he says, you know what, if you knock on the door, I promise I want to come to that door and I want to open it. He wants to be with you. He wants you to seek after him. He wants you to ask the impossible. I think this story in Ezekiel will give us the foundation that God is a God of the impossible. Is there anything too difficult, anything too large that you will see in your life that God is not bigger? The answer is no. God is huge. In your biggest mountain, trial, adversity, hardship is a small anthill to God. Yet he cares profoundly about your anthill. He loves you. He cares for you. He knows you and he's called you by name. You are his. Gloria, team, if you want to come up. We'll end in a couple of songs. And I just encourage you, if there is something that you've struggled with, if there's an area of dry bones in your life, a place of death, a place where there needs to be the life of God spoken over it, find yourself today getting out of your seats. Though it be uncomfortable, get out of your seats, come make your way down to this altar, and just begin to speak life over that situation. You want it to change? Speak the words of God over it. Speak the life-giving words of God into the situation. Do it today. Do it tonight. Do it tomorrow. Do it the week to come. Continue to prophesy and speak the word of God over your situation, over your coworker situations, over those that you meet in the marketplace, over their situations. If not you, then who? We've got to look at it as God has put us and placed us in the places that we're at for such a time as this. You and I are gates. You know what a gate is, right? A gate is a transition point or place between two different realities. Our earthen vessel, our soul, our spirit is what? The temple of the Most High God right now, right? He no longer dwells in buildings, but he dwells where? Inside us. We are gates. We are the transition point between two realities. You know what? People live in this world and it's a horrible, yucky, ucky world. But we are a gate into a greater reality. And that is Jesus Christ. Amen? So, today, if you would find yourself giving yourself over right here, right now, areas of your life, come to this altar and just begin to speak the word of God over that broken place. Let's bow. As I pray, I give you freedom to come up here and seek the Lord. If you're good and you need to go, God bless you. Continue to speak the word of God in any and every given situation to the glory of him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we receive your word. We receive